Well, first of all, you know, the question of whether it's utopian, it's a really good question. And first of all, it's not a bad thing to be utopian and to imagine a better world. You know, it's like it's become like a pejorative word, but people need to imagine a better life before they can actually realize it. So it's very important to be thinking about possibilities and potentials. But the second answer is actually this is not an utopia because it already exists, what we call commons-oriented peer production, which produces free software, open design, free hardware, open hardware, is already emerging quite fast in many different countries. And so basically what you have, if you have communities that where everyone can contribute to a common pool of knowledge. So you can produce knowledge like Wikipedia, software like Linux, but also you have open source cars now like Wikispeed and the Tabby. Then you have, potentially, you could have a network of microfactories. And already, this also already exists. There are already projects like the Open Source Ecology Project in the US and something called Open Tech Collaborative. I'll just give you an example of what they do because it's kind of typical. So as you know, we have problems with bees. A lot of bees are dying because of toxic pesticides and maybe other reasons. And if we don't have bees, we don't have humans because there is no agriculture that can survive without the pollination of the bees, right? So one typical project is called open source beehives. So what they do is they design together the best possible model for beehives, share the design so any farmer, a beekeeper can download designs for beehives, but also 3D print them. And the next step is they put Arduino sensors. Arduino is an open hardware sensor. It's a kind of a computer that can be applied for different things, but also as a sensor. So they can start monitoring the health of the bees and have like an open science to actually know what exactly is wrong with the bees and you know, when are they dying, why are they dying, is it after they eat certain foods? So this is a typical project that already exists and that is part of this new emerging world. Now, there is a statistic in the United States, it's called the Fair Use Economy, and they've calculated the economic weight of everything that's done around open knowledge, whether it's written knowledge, software knowledge, design knowledge. And they already arrive at 1/6 of GDP in the United States. And maybe I can give you an example how this works. I'm European. And you could say more or less that Europe is, you know, has a social democratic tradition, right? So what we do is we invest in geographic data, but then the government thinks we should recuperate it. So they sell one or two or three licenses to big companies that then, you know, have like in the car a geographic, like a GPS system in the car. But it's actually a very small economy. Now the Americans, who are not social democratic, you know, much more capitalistic, very strangely and paradoxically do just the opposite. They say, well, you know, it's public, we already paid for it, so everybody can use geographic data. And the result is that in the United States, it's not just Microsoft and Google that can use open geographic data, but it's a whole industry of small businesses that can do, you know, geolocation. So all kinds of new applications that are based on this open geographic data. So it's not just a good thing to do, to share. It's actually also a good thing for an economy. And so the paradox today, and this is, I think, why Ecuador is so interesting, you know, if you are a for-profit company, it's much more easy. Does it make money? Yes. Okay, I'm for it, right? And so the paradox is that actually today, if you look at free software, you know, it's the big companies like IBM and Red Hat that understand the economy, the economic potential of open code. And it's much more difficult to convince social movements at this stage and governments that this is a good thing. So what we're trying to do in Ecuador is a bit more complicated. So peer production already exists, but it's kind of embedded already in the mainstream economy. So what we want to do here is kind of mix the already existing peer production, what we know of it, with the kind of attempt to actually deeply transform a society, you know, in the sense of buen vivir and all of that. So this is what's unique about Ecuador, is that we're trying to do it a bit differently. So we're trying to create, I know I talked too long for the translator, is to create this convergence between the open model of production with the cooperative and solidarity economic model of production. And I think this is what's so innovative about what we're doing here.